Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And today we thought we'd talk about a film that we both saw separately. Lois saw it first. She recommended it. So I always take her recommendations, and I saw it last night. It's HBO's amazing documentary. It's called Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. And it was directed by Fisher Stevens and Alexis Bloom. And Todd Fisher, Carrie's brother, was also part of the whole process. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. Lois, I mean, you recommended it, so why don't you talk about it first, and I'll chime in. What were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were Fisher Stevens is also, you know, an on-screen actor who's very talented, who I've watched for many decades. I'm amazed that he and his producing partner actually did this, and then all of a sudden, Carrie and Debbie die, like a year and a half later. It's an eerie situation, how he captured their lives, because their lives, the way they lived, was so important to tell in their death that I think it was a great life lesson for all of us. And it's old Hollywood, new Hollywood, the way people live, you know, in Beverly Hills, their lifestyle, the whole entertainment industry, the friends, you know, their personal assistants and everybody that's the support staff. But I guess the most meaningful thing for me at my stage of the game is Debbie being in her late 80s. And, you know, when she's home, you know, she's cranky and this hurts and that hurts and I can't remember your name and where am I going today and what day of the week is it? And yet you put the spotlight on her, and she entertained up until the last moments of her life. You know, you put the spotlight on her, and all of a sudden, she's 30 years old, Debbie Reynolds, you know, doing all of her acts, all of her songs. And it's wonderful to see the elderly audiences that go out to see her, because for that half hour or hour that she's entertaining, and maybe it's even longer, the audience, who are, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, they're all 20, 30 years younger for that moment of time. It just brings back all the time before their aches and pains and their livelihoods and everything. And it's just a wonderful movie to experience.
I also love seeing the, I don't think seedy is the right word, but the, you know, we all think of all this glamour, Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, it's all glamour. And it's sort of faded glamour, faded. You see the seediness, how if you don't have maid service, how places get dirty, and the kitchen that's, you know, looks like, you know, really an old kitchen. Even though they come from glamour, there was money there. The money has come and gone and come and gone a few times. You can see the scars of all that, and it's just fascinating. And of course, the relationship between Debbie and Carrie is really like, I think you mentioned it was like out of Grey Gardens. It's so much like that. This love, hate, need for each other. I don't think it's really hate, but this sort of dependence, independence, it all kind of mixes together. And Debbie Reynolds is such an iconic figure from another time. Carrie Fisher is also iconic. You get to see what it's like to be going to a Star Wars signing fest, you know, the Comic-Con, you know, the small ones around the country. You see what it's like for Debbie to perform, still doing a lounge act in her 80s, and just their interaction at home. It was such a fascinating glimpse into that world that I actually went away from the film thinking, I really know who they are. I feel like they're friends. It was an amazing piece of film. I just totally loved it.
Yeah, this is for the people that are listening in, this is like the second or third time Steve and I talked about the topic. Then we said, we have to do Lying on a Beach, you know, for this topic. But, you know, people, I think that a lot of parents and children should see this movie, because everybody thinks their relationship with their child or children, are, you know, is or are unique. I think if you have lots of kids, you don't suffer the same kind of questions you do when you just have two, three, you know, maybe one, two, or three. Well, three you probably do, but one or two, you're always questioning your relationship. But when you have really, after two, if you have three, four, five, I mean, you know, kids come in and out of your life that you don't have time to really think about each of the relationships and, like, how impactful they are in your life. But with Debbie and Carrie, I think Debbie was probably always a very doting parent. And even though she was so much a part of Hollywood, her children were very important to her. Yet Carrie, you know, unlike her brother, you know, she was not stable, and she had a lot of, you know, mental health problems and personality disorders and stuff like that. And Debbie, I think, while Carrie probably wouldn't necessarily agree, she was probably as supportive as she could, you know, mentally, physically, and financially, you know, to Carrie. Of course, Carrie made plenty of money on her own, but there were times when she didn't, and Debbie was always there. And it's amazing, you know, how the daughter, you know, loved her mother yet resented her mother, only because Hollywood's such a tough place to live. And yet at the end, Carrie becomes the mother, the caregiver. You know, they lived in a compound together, so she would cross their gardens that were attached, their beautiful gardens that they attend, you know, that they really attended to all the time, that was filled with memorabilia, but the gardens were gorgeous. And she would cross the gardens with meals and watching over her mother and try to understand really where her mother was at and capture the years that they lost together. So, you know, it was interesting being a daughter and being a mother, watching those relationships and practically crying my way through it, because you realize, you know, what's important in life, what's not important in life, what you take personal, you know, what's so silly not to take personal. And it, as I mentioned three times already, it was a great life lesson, and I just wish that I was a part of their life. After seeing that, I just want to be friends with them. I just wanted to, you know, have them in my life for the dichotomy of everything. And Todd Fisher is no slouch either. He reminds me a little bit of Paul Simon, who Carrie was married to for a spell. But he's articulate, and he seems caring and wonderful, and he seems to be...
And Carrie and Todd, you know, because they were raised in sort of a strange environment, their relationship, they kind of fused together, because I think in some ways there's a lot of dysfunctionality around them and, you know, within that family. So that actually, I think, caused the brother and sister to kind of like hang together and become, you know, compadres in life because of what they were dealing with growing up, with divorce and a lot of publicity and media and a second marriage and all the problems with that. So I think in some ways you kind of get that feeling of like there's that wink and smile between them that I thought is almost hard to describe, but you can see on film. And I just found that connection very amazing. I love the scenes where Carrie Fisher is taking care of her dad, Eddie Fisher. I thought, you know, seeing his glory where he was and then where he ended, it's just it's a fascinating glimpse into two celebrities, and it's just the access was so complete. The cameras could go anywhere, it appears. There seems to be very little, you know, Debbie Falls, she's got a big black and blue mark. You see it all. Very little is hidden from the camera, and I think it just comes together beautifully and just tells a story about a relationship that I think most people should watch and learn from. And I think in some ways there's dysfunctionality there. It's by no means like this is not what you want to strive for, but in the same token, it's still interesting to see, you know, where these relationships went. And of course, the fact that the two of them passed away within a day of each other just this past, you know, a couple of months ago, it's just even more, makes the story even that much stronger.
One thing that, for some reason, when I talk to people, they don't mention, but really was monumental for Elliot, was the fact that Eddie Fisher, there was just a few, you know, moments of him shown in this documentary, and he was on his last leg, ready to die. And when you see him, a shrunken Eddie Fisher, that looked like, you know, it was like a skeleton of him, and like he could barely speak, and how Carrie spoke to him and how she, you know, professed her love to him, and you know, he loved her, and he was really, they all say, a miserable father. He was absentee totally. He was probably a kind,
He admitted he admits it. He says he was a terrible father. She says he was a terrible father. In fact, she says she's funny because she was always trying to win him over so that he would be so amused by her that he'd come back and see her more often. I thought that was amazing. I mean, really.
I don't know if he was mean-spirited or he just it wasn't important in his life, you know, for his children.
He
I have
also had
no idea.
drug and alcohol. He had drug and alcohol issues that
Yeah, that's true.
kept him, you know, occupied and away from his kids. And Debbie, she said, you know, she loved her mother, but also during her growing up years, her mother spent a lot of time working, so she didn't see that much of her. They show her babysitter. That actually, the babysitter,
Right.
I think her name was
Right.
Constance. She, you know, has actually a big role in this. We meet Carrie Fisher's first boyfriend, Griffin Dunn, who's remained a lifelong friend. He's in this piece as well. It's really an incredible glimpse into their lives. It really is.
Yeah, it's amazing, and we really recommend it, you know, for everyone to see because there's something for everyone. Everyone, even a gangster, a Hell's Angel, a hippie, you know, everyone could get a piece of something. And if it just, it's a feel good. Don't think it's depressing. It's a feel good film because there's a lot of laughs and there's a lot of things to relate to, and I think that's important in life.
So whether you're a Star Wars fan or a Singing in the Rain fan, it's definitely gets two thumbs up from us, correct?
If I could give it 1,000 thumbs up, I would. It was thoroughly enjoyable. It was thoroughly
Okay.
enjoyable. I hope it wins awards all over the place because everyone involved in that movie, including the subjects, certainly deserve it. The Kardashians are probably watching that movie to see what they could do to improve, you know, what they do on TV because this was really spectacular. I think we
Really,
liked it, Steve.
I
We
agree.
liked it. We
I
liked
think
it. We
so. I
really
think,
liked it.
as Sally Field once said. So I think on that note, I think we've given our recommendation. We hope we've spurred on listeners to go see it. It's on HBO. Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. And I'm Steve Greenberg, and I'm with
Lois Whitman, and I just feel like saying amen.
Amen. And we are lying on the beach. Take care.
Bye-bye.